Time is 8:07, currently at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Partly cloudy skies, temperature stands at 67 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in a few minutes at 8:15, we'll have our weekly segment on Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklick. Talk about the Brewers back in first place in the NL Central after an overwhelming win against the Pittsburgh Pirates last night. Also talk about Packers, training camp underway. NFL season actually underway with the Hall of Fame game, as we just heard from Mike Clemens last night. And the Packers will be getting set for their first preseason game coming up in about a week. Family night coming up as well for the Packers. Badger training camp getting underway, and also still lots of news from the Big Ten. And I am a traditionalist when it comes to the Big Ten Conference. I am so unhappy with the further talk of how about just having everybody in one conference in the country. I tell you, it's getting to that point where have one conference be the SEC and the other conference be the Big Ten and end it, because the idea of having these massive conferences and then have divisions or whatever it may be, all in the name of television money, is pretty annoying, at least in my opinion. But we'll talk about that and more as well. Coming up in the second hour, a couple of local stories I want to discuss. One of which is the Wausau School District has launched an initiative looking for some feedback for a new nickname and mascot changes for the new Wausau High School that's coming in 2 years. There was an article in the Wausau Pilot and Review on this in either early today or late last night that came out. And I found it to be a little unfair. In fact, it makes it sound like, again, it's coming after the district in this article saying that, well, they have one person quoted in terms of saying that, well, they're not really coming out and asking for input, or that maybe that they've already decided what the nickname is. I can tell you specifically, because I talked to somebody 2 days ago, that they have not decided on a mascot. Because I talked to somebody that's within the district that actually has an idea of their own that they've put out and wants to try to push that forward, a completely, I think, different and almost off-the-wall suggestion that is, I found to be very interesting. But the bottom line is, the idea that they've already decided what the mascot's going to be, from everything that I know, is totally false. And I just found this article to be, again, I think, just trying to continue that. I think there's an editorial point of view that the consolidation plan is the wrong thing to do. Well, I understand. You can have that editorial position. Plenty of people in the community have that position. But at the same time, I found the article to skew just, again, to try to take a shot at some of the decision makers. So we're going to discuss that. And also going to discuss the latest news again on the proposal that's apparently slipping away. To have a second proposed concert venue, which was supposed to be near the riverfront in Wausau. Well, they've decided, no, not going to do it. We mentioned yesterday the disagreement on who should pay for a feasibility study. Well, after being told that they would have to have the feasibility study paid for, The group VY Properties has informed the city that they will not be moving forward on this. Not saying it's because that they have been asked to pay for the feasibility study, but talking about required infrastructure improvements and other aspects to it. So we'll discuss what we found out about this, I would call breaking and developing story. We'll talk about this as well in the second hour of the program. So plenty to discuss here on this Friday. Yep, Friday. And again, been a nice time at the Wisconsin Valley Fair the last couple of nights, spending the 3 to 7 p.m. hours over at our Bull Falls booth the last couple of days, getting a chance to talk to a lot of folks, talking about things they like about Central Wisconsin, talking about things they would like to see improved, talk about some of the issues they'd like to see discussed in the 2024 elections, whether the Senate or the presidency. But again, if you have a chance to get to the Wisconsin Valley Fair this weekend, make sure to stop by our Bull Falls radio booth, and we have a truth booth to talk to us, and a chance as well to win an overnight stay at the Wisconsin Dells, the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, with water park passes and more. So again, a chance to win, a chance to talk to us. So if you're at the Wisconsin Valley Fair today, tomorrow, or Sunday, make sure you do stop by at the Bull Falls radio booth, and we'd love to speak to you. We're going to take a timeout and then come back. Coming up next, we will talk, again, a lot of sports going on. Boy, it's we're getting towards that busy time. When we get towards, you know, the late summer, early fall, you see a crossover in a lot of sports. And we see the start of football. It's not that long until the Bucks and basketball return. Major League Baseball pennant races. We got high school football practice underway. Badgers, training camp, Packers as well. So we'll talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul McLick coming up next on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is almost 8:16. Partly cloudy skies, 67 degrees the temperature here in Wausau, heading towards the weekend. And here to wrap up the work week, trying to get us ready for what would be another big sports weekend is Paul Micklick, the head football coach at Newman Catholic High School. Final couple of days before practice starts next week. Exciting time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always an exciting time. Big weekend in sports. Family night? Green Bay tomorrow night, right?
Looks like maybe they'll actually get through it without any thunderstorms, right? Seems like almost every other year they get thunderstorms that the entire bowl has to be evacuated, yep. And then they have to wait it out and then come back. I mean, it's like it's that time of year, obviously, that you get thunderstorms. But I know you've been there, and it seems like it's very hit and miss. It seems like the percentages have not been with the Packers a lot, because I can remember a number of times where you had those thunderstorms right in the middle of the scrimmage. Yep. That kind of fire drill for like 60,000 people to have to get underneath at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I was there last year, and it was actually beautiful. And they do have the best part of it, to be honest with you, is the fireworks. if you actually want to watch it, it's probably better just to watch it at home and get a good look on it.
That's the way I look at every Sunday during the football season.
It's
be at home than to be at the stadium.
Well, you got to experience it too, though. It is fun to experience those things, but yeah, it's one of those things where
fun to sit in the beer that's going down the aisles and.
Well, I mean, they make the family night a little more family nightish, and so you probably don't have quite
the drunks.
Well, you said it, not me.
Yeah. Hey, you asked me if I'm crabby this morning.
Yeah. Wow. This is walking here. You don't want to come on here. You're going to be getting yelled at.
No. It's all good.
Because I happened to read the article that you were talking about on the way over, and you know, you can skew anything you ever want.
That is so true, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, and even talking sports, you could. I mean, you see it on like First Take and all that. If you have a point of view, you can make the most wonderful person in the world seem like, you know, the most selfish guy in the world. You know, it really is. You want to try. I think you want to try to be somewhat straightforward. But let's talk about the Packers to begin with. I was going to start about since we opened up that door and it's family night. And I mean, it's sort of like. I remember in the past, it felt like training camp was kind of longer before they started playing games. It's really not a lot of time. It's sort of like what you guys have to deal with, like a week and a half, and all of a sudden they're playing their preseason games, obviously, but they're still playing games rather quickly, it seems. I think it has something to do now with the mini camps they have during the offseason that maybe they did not have in the past, but there's not really a lot of time for a team to kind of come together for the Packers, especially with the changes.
Yeah, and I don't think their practice on the field is that long, as it has
remember
been.
Remember the old days, you'd read about the Lombardi days. Every day was a two-a-day.
Yep.
I mean, every single day was a two-a-day. Now it's like they'll have a day of one practice, then have a day off, and then come back and have another practice. I think that's why the guys really have to be ready to go. In the past, they used to work their way into shape, and in the past, they actually had off-season jobs as well because they didn't make as much money. But it really is...
David Bakhtiari talked about that. And again, you know, because he was talking about that they should have their mini camp and I think their OTAs, maybe not the OTAs, but the mini camp earlier or later, closer to the season. So it's part of the, you know, but the funny thing is, it's like, didn't they ask for this though? I mean,
that's part of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, so they don't practice much. Now they're saying because some guys got hurt early on, right away in that first day or two of their camps, and now they're saying, you know, they're not ready to go. But you're the ones that this, I mean, like, again, it goes back to, I don't know.
It's a responsibility on all sides. If they want, I mean, I don't have an issue with, you know, not wanting to, you know, I think some of the teams did kind of push it the wrong way. But at the same time, there has to be responsibility on the player sides themselves. I mean, obviously, they've got their personal trainers. They can be ready physically for what they're going to be dealing with when the camp starts.
I agree.
I mean, there's some. I mean, it's real easy to. The coaches should be doing stuff. No, I mean, come on, you guys got to be ready to go. And like we just said, they don't even get pushed like they did in the past in the Lombardi days. So
correct.
I mean, but again,
isn't this why though, Chad, that number 12 not being at these OTAs and mini camps in the past,
the last couple
it was
of years.
Was a problem? Yeah. Do you understand? Because saying that it's a quick thing. You're right. They haven't been getting those snaps.
Right. And the thing is, those mini camps, I mean, it's like, you know, you come in for a weekend during the off season. Then you can still go to your celebrity golf tournament, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, and one of the 3 days, I think, you know, usually they are, I think the mini camp's 3 days, maybe four. But one of those days, usually they went like bowling the OTAs are a key component of what they're doing in the offseason now to mesh that team together. So I think they're a lot farther along. I know they always say, like, things take time. Yeah, well, I think they're farther along than we give them credit for.
Did you hear were you listening during the sports report right before the show started by any chance when you're coming in?
No, I did not.
Okay, because they had a soundbite with Matt LaFleur. He's on the NFL Network yesterday. It was just so coach speak. I guess I've talked to enough coaches over the years to know coach speak. He was talking about, you know, about how happy he is with Jordan Love making progress each and every day, how he's been so happy with the guys, you know, actually, you know, real, real, real competitive and showing a lot of fight. I mean, it was all the things that a coach would just say, I think, no matter whether they did anything really well or did not do anything real well. You see, I mean, I follow. Again, on The Athletic, they have an article every day. Well, Jordan Love was 11 of 14 in the... we want the information, but at the same time, anything we read right now, if he's fantastic at practice today, that doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar. But if he has a bad day, it doesn't mean he's going to be terrible as well. What are you looking for before the season starts? I mean, you'll be around the game. Is it the preseason games that you're going to be looking at? Is it just anything else that would make you either more confident or less confident about Love and the team itself going into the first game against Chicago?
I mean, I think there's little things. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see tomorrow night, like, how he interacts, how he how he's leading that group, how he's you know, in the preseason games, you know, because you don't know who you're with. I mean, the line, they got guys in that line. They're changing every day. I mean, the center is changing every day, and that's a key component. Not every day, but a lot. I mean, they had Tom play there yesterday or the day before on Wednesday, I think it was.
One of the reports I read, they had a snap issue, and one of the defenders said, "Jordan, you got to fix that before practice."
Well, because they do a lot of things where a quick count or trying to get up to the line or doing something to get somebody off, 12 guys on, you know, like number 12 used to do. And, you know, those little things. So there's so many moving parts that you just kind of look at the whole thing. I mean, do we know that the receivers are getting open, those receivers? Are they going to the right spot? We don't know that. You and me don't know that. I mean, you know, we think we do, but we really don't. So, you know, you can't just go on there. It is kind of foolish when they put those percentages on there. Yeah, he was 16 for 22. he had a real good day. But did he have a really good day?
No rush.
And were they dump offs or? Exactly. I mean, we don't know what exactly. I mean,
but we all want the information. We just crave it. That's why we go online all the time. We need to have that.
We want. You're putting the big net around the all of us.
Well, I think that you know, every website knows what the clicks are.
Correct. Unfortunately, they do. But, I mean, I just think there's more to it than how he handles himself. There's going to be different things that they're going to see that we're not going to see during the course of the year. If they think that he has those pieces or he doesn't have those pieces, and I think that's what they're more they're going to be looking at during the course of the year. We might be 1-5, you know, or whatever the case may be, but they might be seeing everything that they think is the possibility to make something grow. Because I don't think it takes much in the NFL to go from just below 500. To a Super Bowl contender. Usually it starts with one good guy.
Heck, even within the same year, we've seen teams that, you know, it's even a longer season now with 17 games. I mean, we always talked about, you know, every game, it's still the case, but every game in the NFL having that vital importance. But it was back, you know, when it was 14 games back in the 70s, it was even more important. 16 games, now 17 games, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 18 games, you know, in the near future. But there is time where you can afford, and also because there's more playoff teams as well.
Yep.
So, again, that keeps teams in it longer than they used to. And for a team like the Packers, but the hope would be they'd be a much better team in the second half of the season than they would be in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean,
even a guy like
you got Watson, you got Dobbs, you got Reed, you got all these young receivers. I would hope that they keep getting better as the year goes on, you would think, from the offensive standpoint. And even the tight ends, obviously. Those guys are both rookies. I know they're starting the other guy a little more in the number two spot. But they're going to be young. And look at the defense. The thing that you have to look at, though, and is a key stat, and this is a key stat that I think that does not get pushed enough, is they're going to have the potential or they're going to have 7 first rounders starting on defense. You better start winning, boys, on defense. 7. Yeah. That's a lot. I would like to know another team that has 7 first round picks on the defense.
Are you saying that
I'm saying your boy Joe Barry better start picking it up.
Not my boy. Is Joe Barry a first round draft pick as a coach?
Joe, you know, because somebody was saying, I heard Rob, I think it's Rob
Demasi.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, you know, this is not going to be a year of any firings. You know, they're going to just, the Packers are going to go. I'm thinking to myself, if they go 0-5 and it's not because of their offense at any point in time, I don't think you can sit there and wait because he's got to go.
And especially if you hear another story like you did last season where you have one of your all-pro defenders say, hey, why am I doing this? That adds to it. You know, it's still a – professional sports is still a player's run thing.
Yep.
More than any time, you know, than it used to be in the past. So, you're right. I think that – and I don't get the sense that LaFleur is the type of guy that is going to just sit back and let it fall apart for the entire season. I mean, I just think – I get the sense he's the kind of guy that would not be afraid of that. But, again, that's a speculation on my part.
The thing is – it's a concerning is he didn't go out and get somebody, so he obviously thinks he is very good.
Because the last year was not good.
No, I mean, even at the end of the year, I mean, it was against some of the more poor offenses.
And compared to what we were talking about a year ago at this time, because we were talking top 5 defense.
Yeah, they're not talking about that right now. And they should be, because you got right. seven Division I, or seven the first round picks.
Yeah.
Seven.
Exactly.
You give me another defense that has more than seven first round picks. Give me one.
I can't.
Not that I would know off the top of my head anyway.
Pretend, because when we're on the microphone, just pretend we know what we're talking about.
Know. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be hard pressed to find that.
You're right. Got to take a timeout. Want to talk about the Brewers. I also want to talk about the Big Ten, because you know me. I'm a traditionalist, and all this expansion talk really annoys me. Not that I need an excuse to be annoyed half the time, but I want to talk about that. Talk about that as well. So we'll come back, talk more with Paul Meckley. Brewers back in first place after their win against Pittsburgh last night, and we'll talk about that. And again, Badgers starting training camp in the Big Ten, talking expansion as well. The time is 8:28 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 8:33. Friday morning looks like it's going to be a really nice day. And for part of the weekend, pretty nice. We'll get all the details on your weekend forecast when we talk to our meteorologist from WeatherEye, Jennifer Vuchiski, coming up at 9:06. But right now we're continuing our Friday segments with Paul Micklick talking Wisconsin sports. The good news is, just before you came back, Brewers back in first place. But it was a bit of a rough week before that, losing three in a row in Atlanta, then two of three in Washington. The ironic thing about the Atlanta series was the offense actually came alive, but the pitching gave up, I think, about a dozen home runs, close to a dozen home runs in that series. And then a couple of games against Washington that you kind of, you bite your tongue about, because obviously the third game was the most painful one. But it looked like... they were a little angry last night against Pittsburgh. And I think a big series to try to get at least three, and I think maybe even four in a row against Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Pittsburgh's been really struggling, though.
I mean, yeah, they have.
And the
Washington's
Brewers,
no...
But the Brewers seem to be really good against their divisional opponents.
Yeah.
When they step outside the division, they've been really pretty poor this season.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If it was all division, they would be running away with it.
Well, I mean, you were saying that they had... I mean, Atlanta did have a guy they has called up. I think they got him off the out of the street that night. And I mean, they had their pitching. I wouldn't put too much stock into their offense getting back on track.
Well, they did score like 8 runs and 6 runs.
Again, did you see...
I know,
they
but,
did not have
but
their...
But against Cincinnati, the time before that, when they played them the last series... When you looked at the Reds' numbers for their pitching staff, and you look at the Reds' pitchers in against Chicago this week, the Brewers didn't do very much against pretty bad pitching against the Reds. They were able to win a couple of games, but I'm going to be Mr. Half Glass Full here.
I'm going to be more realistic. I'm going to just say how it is. They got a long ways to go yet.
Well, it's
going to
be now. We've been talking like I think the last month or so of being basically a 2-team race. Now it's a 3-team race. Chicago is playing pretty well.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. I still think that lineup is only a .500 lineup. I'm going to stick to it. I said from the beginning of the year, and I think Chicago's got a better lineup. I mean, we know Cincinnati does. Chicago has a better lineup, and the thing is, Chicago has some pitching with it. That's going to be an issue. We'll see if Woodruff comes back. Miley comes back or came back the other day.
Woodruff, I think, supposed to pitch on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be cool.
For the Brewers.
Yeah.
So because his Nashville.
I think I double check it, but I believe that's what I heard even this morning.
So he must have pitched in Nashville. Now you got me confused. I thought he was supposed to pitch in Nashville.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
On there. But I mean, that would be huge if they got him. You don't do the moves they do. They did without, you knew Miley was coming back because they put, and I said it last week, I think Julio has seen his last days as a, actually I didn't say it to you because it was happened this weekend. Julio's done.
Yeah, he's expected to return from the injured list Sunday.
And, you know, you're trying to get 4 to 5 innings. I know he was getting his innings up down in Appleton
and
first,
he did just
and then he
pitch
went to Nashville.
In
Nashville.
Yeah.
And because he only had one start. They were going to only have him have one start down there and then and bring him up. Most of his
desperate
work was.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. We're going to move you through the assembly line pretty quick here.
Well, I mean, I think they saw it last week in Atlanta.
Yeah.
When you have average pitching going against a good lineup. That's what happens.
And your guy came back and didn't do too bad the other day.
Miley. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and they knew, again, they're desperate. Yeah, I don't want to say they're desperate, but when you saw, because it was on Saturday night, they had Terrain pitch, and they had to keep, I think he gave up 6 runs in the first inning, yeah. And they kept him in there, and he was going 5 innings, I think that he had him going there. That literally was saying, please save our bullpen, well, and let's move on, and goodbye. Thank you for coming and helping us. And I said that, how many times have I said this? Is he came out in the first 8 starts, he had like a 1.89 ERA, and then his last 8 starts was like 8.829 ERA.
Right.
It averages out.
Yes, it does. Especially when you have a pretty significant major league record. I mean, it's not as though it's been a 1-year thing. He was a number of years. But you talk about taking a beating. Did you see the other night in that Reds Cubs game? So the Reds starter, they kept him in for 4 innings and he gave up 14 runs. You know, it's basically sometimes you got to take the pounding in order for the big picture, especially these yep. days, because even the good pitchers, you don't have a guy that you can say, okay, Nolan Ryan, we know you're going to get a complete game tonight.
Yep.
Your good pitchers, well, Freddie Peralta, maybe he'll give us 5 1/3.
Correct.
And that's the thing, even that, you know, he has not gone more than 6 innings yet. I mean, not once. I mean, the guy's got wonderful stuff, but
so did Manny Parra.
But I mean, the whole thing is, you know, he can be a stopper, but you need guys that are.
I don't think he can be a stopper. I don't think he can be a one. He's not a one.
I know.
He's a very good 3, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I just, you know, he would have been the type of guy in the past that would have been one of those where, you know, any night you could throw a no-hitter. Well, he's never going to throw a no-hitter in his career because he can't get within 3 innings of a no-hitter, even if he had 6 innings of no-hit ball. Okay, it's time for the bullpen.
Well, because he pitches a lot.
Again, me as a traditionalist, let's move on and talk about the Badgers. Because the Badgers and Big Ten, Badgers started training camp. Fickell, I heard the interview with him. He's really excited, and I like that. I mean, yep. He was saying his wife said, okay, just get to training camp. Your mind's not here anyways. But it sounds like he's really excited. I think it's going to be an exciting season. I mean, obviously, we talked about last week, it's a change, but this is not a change where you're rebuilding. This is still a talented football team, and you got a guy that's proven he can take pretty talented football teams a long way. He knows the Big Ten, so there's all that. And obviously, still, with a new coach, you don't know that, you know, maybe there'll be a bump, but probably will be a bump in the road. But still, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I think college sports, athletics in general, has become, you're really cheering for your team. You're cheering for the jersey. You're not cheering for the because there's so many changes. Trying to
it's
keep
sort of
up
like
with
the,
that.
It's like the pros now.
Because it's worse, I think.
This free agent. Oh, yeah, because at least with the pros.
They have like 2 or 3 year contracts at least. I mean, these guys can.
But like in the football, you can basically have a guy for 6 years before they become a free agent because you can franchise tag them a couple of times. You're right. I mean, literally, if you have a guy that comes in, has either. Thing is, it used to be if he didn't perform well, he would transfer because he's not getting playing time. Now you have guys who actually perform well. Well, I can move up.
Yep. Either way, they're trying. I mean, just this week, they lost maybe their number 1 and 3 tight ends, and nobody knew until the day of camp. I mean, that's
crazy.
Crazy. And then they picked up a D-back from Air Force that probably is going to be in the rotation that. Again, didn't know until first day of camp. I mean,
what do we know? Yeah, you're right.
Who do you know?
Yeah, like I said, talented. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they have no talent because I don't know who's on the team.
Tell me their starting offensive line.
I know. It's like, holy cow, who is their starting offensive line? I know they got this Mordecai as quarterback, so I guess, you know, he has good numbers. So, you know, he got a pretty good running back in Braylon Allen, so I guess that's pretty good. But But there are a lot of question marks, obviously. A lot of question marks.
Even those guys that they got, I mean, the Oklahoma State kid, Scott, I think his name is, he was out the spring, and he came in. He's like 6 feet, 215. The guy looks like he's strong as an eye. I mean, he was just catching and plucking things out of the air. You know, there's a difference. You can see that. And, I think their receivers are better. I'm not saying that they don't have more talent than they have.
But we don't know.
But we really don't know. Because do you know these guys? Because no, tell me.
That's why it's going to be interesting. A mystery here. Mystery.
It's going to be, again, I think.
I mean, they're going to be, again, the last year of these divisions, who knows what the future is going to hold. You think that they would compare pretty well within the teams within that division. They've historically have. You don't have the powerhouses of Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State in the division. So,
correct.
So there's reason that the Badgers, there's a reason why the Badgers are the preseason favorites.
Yeah, because if they end up in last place, I don't think Wisconsin would take it.
With Northwestern in there, if they are in last place, holy cow.
But they picked up Skip Holtz.
Oh, really? I did not see
that. Yeah, they picked him up to a special advisor.
Wheel and Lou Holtz at this point.
We got in there. But I agree with you exactly. But my point being is I don't think we really know these guys. I'm trying to look in. We don't know if they're going to come out. This offense is supposed to be great. What happens if it takes a little while? They come out, especially against good teams. And this is going to be a different kind of game. Like, you know, and they would shorten the game down. They get that lead and they'd be up like 21 to 17. They get the ball back with 8 minutes left, and they could run the rest of the game out and stuff like that. You know, if they're trying to do hurry up, I think it's going to be more of an SEC game where it could go, or not even the SEC, more of a Big 12, right. Where, those scores are in the 40s. Right. And that's as a fan, it's fun to watch if you're just watching football. But as a person that, want to make sure they win, it's going to be interesting to see how the Wisconsin fan base handles it.
And it also is an offense that potentially early on, because there's a lot of decision-making for the receivers and the quarterback, it could be interceptions early. Turnovers early. It could be an offense that scores a lot of points, but also puts their defense in bad spots because it is high risk and probably high reward.
And very quickly. I mean, when I was down there listening to him, you said it. He goes, "We're simple." They got their power play out of that formation, and they got their pass tree and their reads, like you said.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be on the same page.
And they're going to be in a hurry up. So what happens now if they give up, the defense gives up a touchdown, you come out and you go three and out in 15 seconds, and then you're putting your defense. I don't know if that defense is going to be as good as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost some key parts and the defense coordinator.
And it's a new defense. It's a new style.
Well, the defense from what I gathered is going to be very similar in essence of what they were doing. But there's a lot of missing pieces.
Right, right. And I guess finally, again, more talk about adding four more teams from the West Coast to the Big Ten Conference. And with UCLA and USC, it's already to 14, so that make it to 18. My thought is get two more, make it 20, and then we can go back and have the old Big Ten and then another Big Ten.
Big Ten A and then Big Ten B.
Yeah, real Big Ten division and then the new Big Ten division, and go to bed and make me a little more happy. But again, it's just there was a comment made I saw on one of the social medias from somebody, the Big Ten. Well, we really don't want to be causing a whole bunch of strife with college football with college sports throughout the country. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. It started with getting USC and UCLA, and now it's happening again, which will lead to further, responses for other leagues, and then for some of the folks within college football. In fact, there's some new legislation out in terms of NIL in Washington. It's the greed right now of these conferences and universities to get every single TV dollar. That's leading to I think traditional college football being blown up in a way. Is it better? Is it going to be better where we have basically a Super 2 conference and then everybody else? Or because I don't know. I mean, as somebody that remembers what it was like, there's so much change, and I guess it's disconcerting to me at least. How do you look at it? Is it exciting to you to see, you know, West Coast teams and East Coast teams in the Big Ten Conference and the idea? But at the same time, I'll put it out there as well. It's ridiculous for the other sports. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how they even do the other sports. I mean, but from a football standpoint, Chad, you can't tell me that the tradition is all over. I mean, you can't tell me. I mean, it's simply asking, do you know who's on that team, the badge team? No. You don't know.
It's been done for a long time, actually. It's just now it's the level of how it's
correct.
Been. You know, it's because divisions in itself, it's like it used to be where you played everybody. There was a true champion at the end. You had 10 teams in the Big Ten Conference. You played the
We don't really remember that. That was when Randy Wright was there and stuff like that.
But it's, to me, it's like, it's and now it's all, and there used to be a time that the Badgers would play home games at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, you'll never every week. Yeah,
and you'll never see that again because it's either going to be 11, 2:30, 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock now. It's like because of...
Or Friday.
Don't get me into that. But again, how do you look at it? Because I know you've been a big fan. You follow it. You still follow it. Does it bother you at all? Or is it exciting to have, you know, that the Badgers will be playing USC next year? And I mean, sometimes those are exciting, but then sometimes after a while, I mean... It kind of wears off too. Everything that's. I remember when interleague baseball started, it was exciting for a while, but now it doesn't mean anything.
Correct. The thing is, though, our life still goes on.
It does.
And people like seeing them. Those other teams come to American Family Field, you know.
Go to the Coliseum sometimes. You know, there's Badger fans. Obviously, they always show up at the Rose Bowl and stuff like that.
I mean, around there. So I don't think, unfortunately, you know, it's a new norm. It's a new norm.
I'm a geezer. I mean,
it started with the what did they have? The ledgers and the leaders or something. I don't know what that was.
Legends
I mean,
and leaders.
Yeah,
the ledgers.
what was it?
Legends. Legends and leaders.
I like my ledgers better. I think they should have put that. I mean, what does that even mean? What is that? I mean,
he changed it because nobody knew what it meant.
What I'm getting at is that it's going to keep changing. I think that is the new norm. The norm is it's always going to change.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If they get 16 teams to 18 teams, there's always going to be somebody. This is going to change all the time. That's the norm.
And pretty soon it's going to be like the NCAA basketball tournament where we see, 9, 10, 11 Big Ten teams in the tournament. Now they're going to be expanding the football playoff and we'll probably see in 5-6 teams from the Big Ten make the playoffs.
Well, that's because they're all in the Big Ten or the SEC. Right. I mean, they're all going to be.
There'll be 6 from the Big Ten. There'll be 7 from the SEC, and then there'll be 3 of the others.
Yes, like that, that's what's going to be. I mean, that's going to be the new norm, and that's just how, at the end of the day, it all comes about money. And, you know, I'll sit down there and watch it and enjoy it, and that's kind of how you do it. But I just don't think you're not going to get that grip of the feel of
Team. And every game as well has a meaning now that won't have where you're going to be able to lose 2 or 3 games and still make the playoff. And there was somebody, I think it was from Ohio State, that said this week, is really no point once after this year when you go back to at least temporarily, one Big Ten conference. Why should we play Michigan every year the last game when we could be playing Michigan in that game? We could be playing Michigan then in the Big Ten championship game, and we could be playing Michigan a couple of weeks after that in a playoff.
Well, what's going to happen is you have people sitting out, and this is going to become the NFL on steroids, so to speak, where you're going to have guys sitting out.
Because the last game of the season, even against Michigan, if you know you're in the playoff,
why play?
And if you know,
you're gonna be a first round pick, why would you play?
Yeah, and if you know, then you know you're gonna play them next week in the Big Ten championship game too, because there could be years like that. So you're right. I mean,
that's the more concerning thing, because we've seen it in the last couple of years. With
every
those
game
bowl games.
Means something now. I mean, or it has meant everything. It's even as as the playoff gets bigger and bigger, it becomes less and less. So
the regular season games, you're saying, yes,
because you know it's. You have to win to get into the playoff. You have to win. You can't lose. You could lose one and then hope with 4 teams. Because not there are teams that lose one game.
You know, but if you were a traditionalist, I liked it when they didn't have a playoff.
I agree. I remember when I was a kid when it was the Rose Bowl. I mean, the whole day was all those games.
Yep.
Nowadays, even the big bowls, if you're not in the playoff, do you watch them anymore? Does it mean anything anymore? You see empty seats at all these bowl games. I mean, back when the Badgers first got into their bowl game was, I think the first game was the Garden State Bowl in
Tennessee.
New Jersey. Yeah.
In New Jersey?
Yeah, in New Jersey at the Garden Stadium.
It was Tennessee.
But it was against Tennessee. But it was, you know, a bowl that was a short-lived bowl, but there were a lot of people there. And the Independence Bowl, they played Kansas State after
Independence,
that.
Independence, that's what I was thinking.
That was the first,
of.
They did play Tennessee the first bowl game after they had that long drought.
Gotcha.
And then their first win was against, in the Independence Bowl. Again. But even then, I remember it was like 30 degrees in that game, but there were still a lot of people there.
Yep.
Nowadays, those first bowl games, they're all made for TV. Basically, the stadiums are like a TV studio.
Yes,
that's all it is. It's the set for the television program.
Yep. I mean, it's just.
And again, I know we're sound like, you know, complaining, but you gain something with some of this. Obviously, with a USC Badger matchup, it's you gain something, but you lose a lot as well. I guess is a way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's just, we got to adjust to it. I guess I'm not saying I like it either way.
I'm too old to adjust. I'm just going to complain.
No, for people that don't like change, and I'd be out there, it's not going to be well liked, any of this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's going to help Wisconsin stay in the fight, though, too.
Right, right. I mean, but that's the thing as well. There's going to be the haves, and there's going to be the have-nots.
That's what it's going to be. Going to be, I mean, to if you think about right now.
Some teams that are in power conferences now are going to be left on the wayside. Washington State, because you hear Washington could be a team going to the Big Ten. They aren't talking about Washington State. Oregon State is not being talked about. Oregon is being talked about, even though Oregon State's had a couple of really good seasons.
Yep.
I mean, but they're...
Well, it was after Anderson was there.
Exactly. But the last couple of years, exactly. But if they get left on the wayside, what chance will Oregon State have in Corvallis? Pretty much none. You know?
Correct, and that's what's going to be left. There's going to be the haves and haves not. Exactly. That's what's going to happen. That's the concerning part.
All right. Complained enough about Big Ten change. We'll see what happens, I guess. You know, we'll see if they get the four additional teams. Well, enjoy the weekend.
You too, and enjoy the fair. It's supposed to be pretty nice up until Sunday, it sounds.
Absolutely, but we'll talk again hopefully next week, or do you practice in the morning? You probably in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, we practice in the afternoon.
Well, maybe
we
can get you in here. Take your mind off it for a few minutes.
Yes,
all
yes.
All right, Paul Mickley, thank
Thanks,
you again.
Chad.
We'll take a break. Come back. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks to Paul Mickley for joining us. Ran a little long in that last segment, so we got a short segment here. But a reminder, we're just 2 weeks away from the start of the high school football season here on Bull Falls Radio. We will be bringing you coverage of the Wausau West Warriors, the Marathon Red Raiders, and the Newman Catholic Cardinals. Again, if you are somebody that is interested in helping us with support of our broadcast, we are so very proud that we remain the only Wausau radio station that brings you high school play-by-play live on the radio. So, again, make sure that you keep listening. We have promos asking for support. If you want to give us a call, reach out to us, and we can get you up to a speed on some of the options. There are different options for you in terms of supporting our high school sports broadcast. If there's one school you'd like to sponsor, that would be fantastic. If you'd like to be on board for our entire coverage of high school sports, that would be great. If you have one sport that you'd like to focus on, that's an option as well. So again, different options for you if you are interested in being a supporter of our high school sports broadcast here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But 2 weeks from tonight, I'll be up in Superior with the Wausau West Warriors as Wausau West takes on Superior in the season opener. So 14 days away, looking forward to that as the Warriors look for a third straight Valley Football Association championship. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Jennifer Vucicki at 9:06 with the weather, and next it's CBS News at the top of the hour on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.